is it that you differentiate yourself between yourself and your colleagues, right? A lot of people think, hey, you know what, it's about the skills that I know, which is technically true, except it doesn't just end there. So what I thought I would do is actually get a very special guest on the show with us, Sue Vardy, who has actually designed an entire session on building your personal brand for us technical people. So without further ado, let's get her on here and do our little chit-chat. Where's Sue? There's Sue.
Hi, Jonathan.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
No. Thank you for joining us, of course. Like I was just saying in the intro, I mean, this is such a topic that's close to my heart, just because I do feel that a lot of us think that, you know, as we're building our careers, as we're learning new skills, the technical skills are what's going to get us where we want to be. And I know from my personal experience that actually the building up the technical experiences was definitely not enough. And I believe that you have some wisdom, if you will, some tips and tricks to share with us on that. So thanks for joining us on the show. I'll pass it over to you to really teach us about building our personal brand. And for you guys watching, of course, Sue is live. She is literally in front of the screen. So if you have questions for her, by all means, put them up in the chat window. The more questions we get, the more interesting the discussion. And of course, Sue will be available afterwards in the Canadian Developer Connection group on LinkedIn to answer the questions if you happen to think of something after we get off the air today. With that, Sue, they're all yours.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, welcome everyone. I just have a quick story before we start. I talk to a lot of developers every day, and but my own background is actually working with developers quite closely. I have a background as a technical writer, and I've grown my career from that. So when growing up, I grew up in the 80s, and just a quick story about how my grandmother taught me a little about social media in general, because it's a good way to, you know, focus on your personal brand and put information out there. She used to send me snail mail, letters in the mail. With clippings from various articles that she was interested in and that she thought I would be interested in. And so every week I'd get a clipping. And, you know, growing up, you don't appreciate it as much, but you realize the value a little later in that she really showed me how to tailor information and share information that's focusing on a particular audience. In this case, it was myself as her granddaughter. So I always like that story as a little insight into the world we now live in, which is very much a self-publishing world.
Yeah, I don't know that we do snail mail anymore. I mean, I know for me, I specifically avoid having to go to the post office to drop off a letter.
I know, it's few and far between these days. And, you know, for good or bad, that's the way the world is changing. So that's part of why I like to talk with developers about their personal brand. And I have five easy steps I'm going to go through with examples. Ooh. And even afterwards, we'll share that worksheet that I use. And I'll even blog about it here on D3 Live and Interactive.
Nice. See, guys? Right there, you have, so stay tuned, you have the show today, and then you have some of Sue's worksheets and stuff like that we'll actually be putting up on the blog for you throughout the months to really kind of take what she's talking about today, and of course, Sue, correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea is to take what you're going to talk about today and immediately apply it to something that they can actually go and do.
Exactly. Something they can use right away and everyone can, because it won't take, how much time do we have? Half an hour. It won't take half an hour, 45 minutes to really discover your personal brand. I find it's a very much an evolving thing, but there are certain things you can do, just thought processes you can go through to kind of identify your strengths. And really, if take away one thing from today, it's all it's about is just to be your own advocate so that people know why you do what you do.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a technical skill specifically, it's how you use that technical skill to solve someone else's problem or your own or whatever challenge may come your way, and how you communicate that, how you become known for that.
And now when you're saying you're a personal advocate and stuff like that, do you find, because I know I was like this myself a little bit earlier on in my career, but do you find that people come to you and say to you, hey, Sue, like, if you want me to be my own personal advocate, isn't that kind of like showing off? Am I going to come off badly to people just because I'm doing that?
That's a very Canadian comment. But showing off is, you know, you have to show confidence. I wouldn't say showing off per se, but showing confidence and putting yourself out there, even just a little bit, even taking baby steps with some of the strategies that I'm going to talk about will help you communicate what you're all about.
Cool.
So for number one, usually I have people fill out a form, and this will be available after, about three things. Their personal interests, so what they like to do outside of work, what is career business focused for them that they really enjoy. Hopefully you are doing things related to that, and if you're not, you may have side projects that you're more interested in. And then finally, what events are you going to, what workshops are you participating in, but also what could you be presenting or speaking at. So those three areas, so personal interest, career and business focused, and events.
Now, for these events, these are like things like user group meetings or free conferences or even paid conferences, right?
Yeah, anything, and even social events.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not just work-related, business-focused events, but, you know, I always bring my cards to a birthday party. You never know. It's not like it's work-focused, but you never know when you have a chance to shine or meet someone who's been invited that you can, you know, position your skill set with.
See, and it's interesting because I actually just automatically just did that, right? You say, hey, go do, you know, when you're at an activity, and right away I jumped to user groups and technical things when really it's actually anything, like you said. That's not something that would typically one would think of.
And I have some specific examples. So for personal interest, think about what you do outside of work, but kind of, you know, you make time for hiking, biking, sailing, any kind of sport, or my own is classical music, and or other things like what radio, pay attention to what kind of radio shows you watch, what kind of TV, just what kind of information could you share with like-minded people from a personal interest. And this, you know, oftentimes when we look at resumes every day, we look at those, if people have equal skill set and we're comparing, usually we'll go to that, you know, hobbies and interests section and actually, okay, well, what does this person do for fun? So that kind of, when you talk about personal branding and just being a well-rounded individual, you don't want to share, you want to be careful with some of the messages you put out, but if you share it, you make it seem like you're human, that's also a good thing. So sharing personal interests as well will help. The next one, career business focused. So this goes down to it can be the technologies you use. Are you a LAMP developer? Are you using, doing something with Windows Azure? Are you PHP?
Oh, no, you didn't say Azure,
totally.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Just because our viewers here always laugh at me because there's always that constant battle between Azure and Azure. Anyway, just thought I would put that in there. Sorry.
I know, it's like... Well, forgive me for that, but so any kind of specific technology, I'll have to talk to your product development team and they'll coach me better.
I agree.
Any kind of specific technology can go here. So if you like sharing articles about Ruby or you like sharing articles about Windows, Azure, whichever you prefer, then you can do so. So you do it online, and that's where I'm getting at. It's very much, everyone is now a self-publisher. So, and that's where social media comes into play, into blogging, into specific networks and podcasting. And then finally with events, there may be, like you said, a user group, a JavaScript conference, a developer social event, something in the city that you go to on a regular basis. We go to DevTO all the time.
Yeah, and actually Chris there in the chat also posted up the URL to the East Toronto user group. So that's one user group you can check out. You know, there's a whole bunch of them all around the country. Terrific, terrific stuff. And it actually, you know what, even if you have no clue, and this is just my personal experience, even if you have no clue as to what people are talking about or what the you know what the speaker is talking about, just go anyway. Because at the end of the day, like Sue, like you said, it's a social gathering. You never know who's there, and you never know who might be there, and you never know what conversations you might strike up. And those are all opportunities to kind of show off who you are and what you like talking about.
Yeah, and not only for your career as you grow with an organization, but you can also, and some, a lot of developers do have a product or a project they're working on the side, and you can always meet new people who with different ideas or a different technology that might bring more to that project as well. So the worksheet I'll have available is basically those three categories that they can you can fill in to put your own spin on it. So that kind of, you have to really know your strengths when you're talking about personal branding. And sometimes that's very difficult, especially when I talk to students or new graduates or people changing careers. You really do have to just strip it down to the fundamental strengths. What are you good at? And that will help you build your personal brand and determine the message of that brand, how to position yourself when you're speaking to others.
And most people will come back and say, well, you know, I know a whole bunch of things. How do I figure out what I actually know? Like, what am I really good at? I know that's usually a battle that many people have, and that they can do a whole bunch of things. How do you tackle something like that?
Yeah, that's a very common question. Because a lot of developers, they begin in a world where they have to solve problems, and they use the tools available to them or the technologies they prefer to solve these problems. So they have a wide range of skill set that they've been using for many years. However, when you have a thread, we talk about a thread in a resume, or a thread of skills that are grouped together, or a thread of experiences that have similarities, they will always stand out above the other noise, if you will. And I'm not, so when you have a, and you can actually tailor this to what you want to do. So let's say you are a jack of all trades, you are at a startup and you're expected to do this, or you're the only tech guy at the company and you're expected to do everything. You can start taking control a little bit. And even if it's on the side, okay, I'm a Java developer, and I've always been known as a Java developer. Well, what kind of problems does Java solve for my company? But I want to get into more Ruby. Maybe I want more open source. Maybe I want to do some more mobile projects. You actually start talking. Just simply tell people this, and that will start to change. Now, a resume is a whole other session. But if you can communicate just verbally at first, that will help. And then your resume will automatically, if you write it in a certain way that shows that thread, well, even in the objective, the objective could say, you know what, I'm technology agnostic, meaning I know many, but I don't have a preference, and I love to learn new things. So that's another way you can approach it as well. However, you don't want to, it is always a double-edged sword, because you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into one technology, and you want to be open to others. When we're talking about jobs specifically, that can be, you know, people can really focus on that one aspect, but I want everyone to know that this is at a company for your internal career growth. Your day-to-day life is maybe in this one technology, but if you start sending out those small messages, you know, have a coffee with someone you don't normally see in your work day-to-day circle, and tell them about this new project you're doing and you'd like to implement it at the company. If there's NDAs involved, there's ways around that if you have confidential conversations. And maybe someone will think that's the whole idea. Like, here's an example from my sheet. I have, so instead of saying, oh, I'm a Java developer, you can say, you know, I can take any website and make it into a mobile app. So it takes out the technical speak, because most day-to-day you may be interacting with less technical people, but at the same time it shows your interest in taking any website and making it into a mobile app, not just a mobile website, but making it into an app. Maybe someone will remember that. So when the project comes up to do that kind of work, they'll say, yeah, so-and-so, you know, Chris said this to me the other day. Let's keep him in mind for this kind of project when it comes up.
Now, naturally, us as developers, because we're used to working, you know, deep in the weeds, if you will, of detail, you know, the natural reaction would actually be to say, yeah, I'm a .NET developer, or I'm a Windows Phone developer, or like really be focused that way. And really, I think what you're saying is that take a moment, not in the conversation, but maybe, you know, beforehand, or just when you have a second to reflect, to kind of say, well, am I actually really just a Windows Phone developer? Or like you said, do I develop mobile apps, in which case I'm showing that I'm versatile. Right, you're really taking a second to think about how you're portraying yourself, not in the, you know, at a task level, but more in terms of what you can do, yes, not necessarily what you do.
Yes, and that's the essence of personal branding. And in fact, a lot of people use their employer brand as a cover as well. So we have the example of a technology, kind of hiding behind the technology, but they also have, okay, I work for X company. And that just says it all. Like, that is the be-all and end-all. And so there's that to get out of that a little bit. Just think, well, I work for this company. However, I'm working on problems that solve this.
Right.
So you can use it as a employer branding perspective. But it's really not you, because there's many, many people that work for that employer. So
now, you also mentioned beforehand, is like going to talk to people and doing all these things. Now, that's probably, for it to be as effective as possible, that's probably something you want to do proactively, right? Not necessarily when you're looking to find another job, or, you know, when you're actively, you know, kind of soul searching. This is just something that you want to do on a regular basis, so that, you know, if something comes out of it, something comes out of it. But if not, at the end of the day, probably with every conversation or every meeting or something, you personally can always learn something as well.
Yes, and that's where Stack Overflow comes in. A lot of popular and shows such as yours comes in. A lot of discussion. You mentioned the LinkedIn group you have. That's where an extension of online. We take whatever is offline, we usually take it online so that we can promote ourselves in this way while we're working, while we're not thinking about the next project, or while we're not even thinking about another job per se, if we go that extreme. But so there's definitely, now there's things like GitHub. Git has been around, but GitHub brings a social aspect to it. And there's social networks specifically for developers. Actually, I have a slide. I'll just list a couple when we get to that a little later.
Yeah, I mean, most of the folks probably tuned in are mm-hmm. familiar with the MSDN yeah. forums and mm-hmm. and really, and what I like about what you said is really an opportunity to promote yourself. But at the same time, right, when you say it like that, that kind of gives it a little spin of, you know, that's something that I have to actively do. It's something that it's almost like a chore that I need to, or a task that I need to tick off and say, yep, I promoted myself today. But I think
yeah.
in reality,
it sounds a little like it's a negative too. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's what it is. You build it into your day-to-day life, though. And you have to ask. You almost have to. This is why it's not an overnight thing. You know, how has someone listed you in a Twitter group, for example? If you look at a Twitter list, you'll see how a friend of yours may have categorized yourself. How do they see you? Even just ask someone else, well, how would you recommend me? Or you could see that on LinkedIn. But how would even just face-to-face, how would you right. refer me to someone else? You're going to have to do a little market study on yourself. It will take time. And this is the whole self-publishing movement, where you have all these outlets. Why not use them to your advantage and participate? And it's not necessarily in an extreme or negative way. People build it into their day. Mobile devices have enabled that. Especially mobile and social media together have just exploded. And people participate willingly. They want to be part of whatever niche community they would like. And there's different paths to do it as well. The nice thing, though, is it's always nice to have a goal, a long-term vision for your personal branding. Like, I want to be a CTO of a startup or post-startup. Or I want to be a team lead managing 20 people. It's always nice to have a long-term vision for your career. And then, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, what's this company going to be doing? Is it a SaaS-based product, cloud computing, or is it more an enterprise environment? So having those long-term goals, and then you fill in the blank daily. Well, maybe you want to build a particular following, a Windows, people are enthusiastic about MSDN, particular user group, and you want to deliver a white paper that you've, you know, and maybe you don't like public speaking, you don't feel like it's appropriate to promote yourself in another forum, maybe you just want to write a white paper and get your name out there in that way. So there's different channels you can use.
Well, I mean, and that's why, you know, starting up discussions on LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook, all that kind of stuff, well, while it's still showing who you are, at the end of the day, it's still, you know, it's less intimidating as, you know, like you said, public speaking or even in social gatherings. Like I know many developers who don't necessarily feel comfortable in engaging in face-to-face conversation for whatever reason, confidence or whatever, it doesn't matter. But, you know, if you then channel that same passion and knowledge and whatever, but channel that through online, I find that now there's so many different avenues to do that online that, you know, if in person, offline is not your thing, that's fine. That doesn't prevent you from promoting yourself that way.
Yeah, not at all. But I'll tell you one thing, though. If you can develop your communication skills face-to-face, someone who is very technical and has the communication client-facing skills always gets first crack at the latest and greatest opportunities. So
Right. Let's
say you have a lot of developers that are shy and they just want to do their technical work, and that's fine. But if you can take small steps, Toastmasters is one example, where you can work on your speaking skills, or if you know, or just taking a communications class at night to make your Twitter 140 characters a little better, a little less rushed. Because believe it or not, taking the time ahead of time before you put out any kind of communication or doing the research beforehand will always give better results at the end.
Well, and especially you know, with everything out there, if you will, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, so on and so forth. We heard on the January episode when Miguel Carrasco was here, and we were talking about you know, starting something with LinkedIn. He kind of had the same message in that even though you're not necessarily intending to portray yourself in a certain way, every time you put something out there, it's technically a portrayal of who you are. And with the online technologies and capabilities that we have, good or bad, but prospective employers and people looking to offer you opportunities are always watching, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like you said, when you're paying attention, even in those 140 characters, you wouldn't think that, you know, you could get a lot from 140 characters, but, you know, some of the tweets I see out there, and I'm like, yeah, that would have been a career-limiting move right there.
Yeah, that's a whole other show as well. Yeah, exactly. The one thing to keep in mind is that participating and taking the time to learn your personal brand and what you are all about will create milestones in your life. Milestone opportunities in your life, whether it's offline or online. My business partner is a good example. He has a recruiting background, of course, he's going to call me up. But we kind of got connected on LinkedIn and got to know each other over LinkedIn and found a common interest in social media. We've actually gone more of career development and social media direction with our company. So by creating those milestone opportunities in your life, you can do it offline, which has always been the case, but now you have the capability to do it online, which is one of the major points to drive home as well. So I've gone through my worksheet. So these kind of topics, just to, if you don't mind just throwing up my slides and we'll go through a recap.
Let's do that. Hold on. We'll get you right on the screen there.
And
this is
so,
this is where you guys get to see a little bit of the behind the scenes. And if all goes well, yeah, there we go.
Okay. So the first one is my main point. You know, actually there's a slide before the number one there, Jonathan. Sorry about that. Be your own advocate so people know why they should turn to you. Okay? It's nothing to do with necessarily the technologies, although that will impress certain types of people. When you want to get your personal brand out there, you have to cater to a broader audience. Okay, now I'm on number one. Sorry about that. Know your strengths. know how to position your skills. I love this picture because you have to speak about it. You have to actually think about it and speak how you're going to position yourself in whatever situation you're in. So the example I gave was, you know, I can take any website and make it into a mobile app. You know, streamline code to view it on the iPhone, that kind of thing. So know your strengths. And this is not a quick process. Sometimes people reevaluate their strengths throughout their life. Number two, what is your expertise? So what problems does it solve? You may be an expert in what they call jack of all trades technology, or just one or two you've really focused on. What exactly is your expertise, and how does it solve a problem? This picture, do you know where it's from, Jonathan?
No, actually, I was going to ask you. It looks like it would be something like the CN Tower.
Yep, it's the CN Tower. And this guy has all the confidence, and that's part of the nature of the game. They don't have some confidence. Yeah, there's no ropes, no wires, no nothing. He knows he's an expert in this, you know, ironworking, whatever he's doing here. And although I don't recommend that, it's a little extreme.
Well, all I can say about that one is I can have as much confidence as you want me to have. I will never try that.
Yeah. Number three, really establish your credibility. And you can do this through multiple channels. And I put TED here as an example, TED Talks, because video is, you know, it's, people don't think of it as a social network per se. You know, you go onto YouTube and you watch some videos, but it is. It is the quintessential way to define you if you can get into, if you're not shy and would love to get into video.
Well, and I especially love, and I've used it myself and have published a couple as well, but, you know, all those videos that they have on YouTube where, you know, it's like people doing a tutorial on something, or even if they just, like, it's a 2-minute clip on, you know, a rant of some sort, that information that people are putting out there is potentially useful to someone. Right. So even if you're, you know, let's say you just finished a particular function and you learned something about, you know, entity framework, or you learned something about live tiles. I'll just say, you know, because we were talking about the Tech Days on Tech Days TV session earlier. Right. That's something that you just learned. So why not take 2 seconds, if nothing else, you know, make up a video or write it down or something as a blog post, as if nothing else, maybe even just a reminder for yourself. But because you're putting it out there, A, you're showing what you know, but B, that information is probably useful for someone. So why not put it out there? That's how, as a community, we all grow, right?
Very useful. And you don't even have to show, you even use things like Camtasia or other software products that will just record your voice and the steps you're taking, just like a demo, just like a lot of the Talks developers do, and they have a live demo, but sometimes it's recorded. Just record what you're doing and how you're coding. It's often very impressive. And those technical people that are interested, you'll keep their attention. What I recommend, though, is to work on maybe a little outside of your comfort zone. And that will get you in front of a wider audience, so to speak.
And now, what's your take on people, or, you know, again, let's pick on developers, but really and anybody who comes to you and says, hey, Sue, like, that's great that you're telling me to create YouTube videos and stuff like that, but isn't that reserved for the pros? Like, who am I to put up a video out there, you know, just because I know this one particular thing?
Mm-hmm. Look, it's the way it's working right now. It goes back to my first story. It's self-publishing. It's not, you don't just have to rely on the newspaper and the magazine. Everything comes from you. Yes, why do this? I think being part of a social media, my business partner Mark talks about the social media ecosystem. I think participating in this ecosystem of networks or of even just one particular channel will benefit and create those milestone opportunities. I don't have a straight up answer. It is about your personal brand, it is so personal. We come on the side of participate to stand out from the crowd. And if they choose not to do that, there's all kinds of ways to do that. I think it's only to their benefit.
Got it. Now that totally makes sense.
So, and next one, four, and along those lines, build those valuable long-term relationships. I mentioned my business partner, Mark. in our LinkedIn connection, it's created milestones for our business. And by building long-term relationships, you do it online, but offline is very much key, because you get to know someone online through Twitter, perhaps, just meet them at an event, but then you go to the event and you meet them offline. Trust barriers are lowered, and people just feel more comfortable chatting about whatever they want to talk about with you.
And to your point earlier, it puts that human aspect to it, right? Like, for all anybody knows, with my online personality, could be like a total, you know, double of me, a stunt double, if you will, and has nothing to do with who I am as a person. But unless you're a really good actor, you can't really recreate that same kind of personality in person unless you are, in fact, authentically that personality. And at the end of the day, what you are showing people online should be the same as what you're showing them in person. To really, you know, on the previous one we talked about credibility, but is it not the case that credibility or authenticity is just as important as credibility? And if you're not authentic, that immediately crushes your credibility?
Mm-hmm, yeah, those are all the classic buzzwords of social media world as well. It's very true. And to break it down, it's basically how many promises do you keep to yourself? And if you are an authentic person online and offline, sometimes it can boil down to that. If you want to get ahead in your career or with a new business venture, what promises are you keeping to yourself? I listened to the intro for your show, and you were talking about all the things that developers can do for Microsoft, contests available and that kind of thing, and how you're mentioning deadlines. Make a promise to meet or exceed that deadline if you want to go after what is you know, available to you.
Right.
Yeah. So number four is, we did that one. The next slide has just a sampling of all. I mentioned that term before. Mark introduced me to that term, the social media ecosystem. So there are a lot more social networks, in fact, for developers, I find, than a lot of other niche communities. But even if you choose one, if you feel that you want to participate in just one, then that's fine. The more you participate in, it depends what audience and what you want to get out of it for your own interests. I would always start with what you're interested in the most, and you're more likely to continue that.
And that's probably, if you're doing something that you're most interested in, chances are then that would, I guess by default or naturally, promote that authenticity, as opposed to, you know, trying to go to somewhere where, you know, you're not necessarily into it. You're just trying to show something you're not. And more often than not, that comes out very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And it goes, so if really figure out where you want to participate and do your best work there, whatever you're communicating. And you want to, the last point there is refine yourself online and participate. So there's a lot of diamonds in the rough, like people with really, really amazing technical skills, stars, as we say. But sometimes if we just think of what our own goals are in life and our career, we can take what we have, the strengths that we have, and just polish them a little bit to really meet that person that's going to create a milestone opportunity, or learn a new skill that's going to introduce us to something else in our world. I think refining yourself online and offline can help each step of the way.
And I think the key word there too is participate, right? Because a lot of people will do stuff online, but more from a observing as opposed to participating. And while that is good from a personal development perspective, not really showing much if you're not, you know, kind of giving back, if you will.
Yeah, I agree very much. Exactly. So that little bit of just, sometimes people need a little push to get on the stage just to showcase what they can do. And once they're there, they shine. And then from each time they try something, they gain a little more confidence, and it just spirals. It's amazing to see unfold with some of the people I know, that's for sure. And just to finish off my slides there, maybe we can get into the Q&A. These are just a couple of points I was driving home today. So your personal brand online is an extension of yourself offline, but amplified. So now you have thoughts and you put them out on Twitter. Just, you know, understand that you have, you could potentially reach thousands, if not multiple thousands of people. So just be aware.
And all across the world too, right? Like that, mm-hmm. that gets you out of your own little neighborhood and out to the global neighborhood. And with technologies that are available these days and stuff like that, like technically there's no reason why you should restrict yourself per se to opportunities in your home city. Maybe you can work remotely for a company in Australia.
Yeah, who knows, but like the opportunities are endless, and that goes to my last slide there. Stand out from the crowd and create these milestone opportunities throughout your life. And we use social media and personal branding combined to do those things.
Cool. So actually, we do have a question already in the chat for you. And this one is, we always hear about the elevator pitch, right? So quote unquote, the elevator mm-hmm. pitch. Do you believe it's helpful to have this type of quick positioning statement prepared to share your brand?
An elevator pitch, again, you always start with the audience. If you're given the opportunity to pitch an idea, so I think context is key here. It's always nice to know what are you pitching and to who. So I would have something prepared if you were doing something for a product you developed specifically. Usually that's the case. If it's you yourself, what you can do is kind of combine you into it, into the product. So I've recently developed this kind of product. I think it would help you. You always want to go to the audience. So whether or not to do the elevator pitch depends on context. If they've invited you to do it, or you're just going to put it out there, go for it. The worst they can say is no. Like, the worst can say is just ignore you. Like, do it. That's my advice. But position yourself from their perspective. So, you know how in an email you always say, you know, how are you today? You know, think of the other person first. So what problem are you solving for them? Then you go into the technical aspects or what product it is.
Well, and that's, and so that yet again is, you know, the flip side of that example you were giving before, where rather than saying, you know, let's say someone comes up and they happen to work for a company that does mobile apps and they're asking, hey, how are you? What do you do? Keeping that in mind about who you're talking to, rather than naturally then saying, yeah, you know, I'm a developer, I develop .NET applications, mm-hmm. you might cater that to say, like you said earlier, I develop applications that, you know, can be viewed on mobile or whatever. Even if it's not specifically what they want to hear, it is actually for who you're talking to relative to who you are, but still at the same time, you don't want to embellish what you can and cannot do.
Yes, and I would recommend before you go on that elevator, study up on who might be in that elevator and learn a little bit about their background if you can. So if you know if this particular person you're pitching to is in healthcare in general, say, look, we're working on this app that tracks this particular disease. And that, by, you know, maybe that's not the case. Maybe you can, I know that you're in healthcare, but I'm developing this app for this industry. So even though it's not related possibly to healthcare, you're still treating that person, your audience, like, oh, treating them special. Oh, they actually know that I work in healthcare or something like that.
And that probably brings on that aspect you were talking about before in terms of you want to just leave them with something, right, that they'll remember you by. And hopefully a positive thing to remember you by. I've
yes.
seen way too many of the opposite.
Yeah, learning people's first names is a very powerful thing, that's for sure. Just general things, that going back to the story initially that your grandmother taught you, but there are definitely technical side to it as well, and you really have to think about what you do technically that will help other people outside of a developer universe.
And do you have, I guess, any tips or advice for potentially using others to promote your brand? So a lot of the times a lot of the conversation that we've been having right now, it's all about you, right? But at the end of the day, a lot of us get to where we want to be or get connected to the right people through our people network. So is there something that we could do, not necessarily intentionally, but just as part of our day-to-day being, that would help others promote your personal brand?
requesting specific, if you want to be a little under the radar, what you can do is just participate in your company's clubs and activities, charities, that kind of thing. If you want to just participate, you'll meet people outside of your department. And even if you just start chatting with them, they'll start to get to know you and they'll start referring you to others in the company, maybe even decision makers. So that's one way to do it. Another one is to just start your own community or group at, it's like, for example, lunch hour, the nice weather's coming, get people out walking every day, you know, just a walking group, that kind of thing. Just become a little more active in whatever is available to you. Maybe consider volunteering.
Right, and actually I was just talking to an MVP earlier today, and you know, he was telling me stories about how he had connected with someone else out of Seattle, and they started talking about something that actually had nothing to do with both of their technical worlds, if you will. And in fact, they didn't know that they were in the same technical world, but through conversation, you know, it's like you might bring up something and then the other person's like, oh yeah, you know, me too. And the conversation goes from one place to the other to the other, but both of you would then walk away saying, wow, you know, if I think of something or if I hear of an opportunity, hey, I can refer that guy. I'm of the opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I live too much in a bubble, but I'm thinking that most people are generally happy to help. Right? They're not malicious in nature or anything like that. So, you know, if you give someone something to remember you by that's positive, chances are, you know, they'll take that and spread it where they can, simply because, you know, most people are nice that way. And if nothing else, I mean, if we want to look at the other side of the coin, if nothing else, they're probably hoping that you do the same for them. So, you know, it's kind of like a mutually beneficial relationship that way.
Mm-hmm. And people connect on all kinds of different levels, and they realize, oh, this is what happens. This is the beauty of social media in some ways, is that you meet someone, you start talking about a common interest, and then you actually go to a conference or you meet offline at a party, and oh, cool, we have all this in common. And then you never know, like, and then, you know, one phone call later, you get this new project at your own company or a new opportunity to work on or whatever. No.
Yeah, and so it goes back to that LinkedIn conversation that we were having in January. You know what? Yes, participate in groups and stuff like that, but even if you update your status, I don't know how many of you guys actually do that, but updating your LinkedIn status, not your title or anything like that, but you know, you can post a message, almost like kind of like Facebook or Twitter. But what that does is it shows up on the news feed of all of your professional contacts. So, you know, Sue, to your point earlier about sharing ideas about, you know, the kind of projects you're working on or what you're reading up on or whatever, even if you're just saying, hey, you know, I'm reading up on this, people will see that and they might want to communicate back to you their opinion. And then you learn from shared experiences that then only help to further your own brand. Right.
Yes, it keeps you very top of mind. What they say in the marketing world keeps you top of mind. So people you know, they'll have to touch base for another reason, and they'll mention, oh, I really like this article you shared on LinkedIn, by the way. And then they'll get into, you know, the work related email or whatever. So it creates icebreakers that build trust to start conversations that create those milestone opportunities.
Now, at the same time, let's flip the coin mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. We'll say, in this particular case especially, quality is far better than quantity.
Yes, I agree very much. If you don't know, I often advise clients, if you don't know what to say, don't say it.
Right. Or it's like how when you were growing up, you know, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Right. Exactly. When it comes to the business world, if you don't have anything, I'll say anything of value. Right, because mm-hmm. you know, let's be honest. All of us have relatively no time in our day to do stuff. So if you're going to grab my attention somehow, you only have a few minutes to do it every time. So if you're just going to sit there and spam, if you will, or you know, you're going to sit there on Twitter and say, "Hey, I just checked into this place, and I just checked into this place." What does that actually say about your brand? And you know, is that how you know, you want to spend the valuable couple of moments that someone gives you their attention. Is that what you want to portray?
It's all how you're perceived with personal branding specifically. It's all how you're perceived and your whole, and that's, I started the conversation with, you know, your interests, your personal hobbies and interests, as well as your career focused interests. So if they're not true to your personal brand, people pick up on that right away. If I am tweeting about something totally unrelated to social media, sometimes they're like, well, what's Sue up to? It doesn't sound like her, you know. So it actually takes them, you know, lets them know that when you're consistent, when you have a consistent personal brand and you talk about these topics, that's when it'll really provide value. And it won't just, you know, you're right, with people taking time out of their day to read your tweets, and you really have to consider your audience.
Yeah, and I find that when you're thinking about your audience first, and I mean, even in what I do, I mean, we have to do that every day, right? If I put up a D3 show like this, you know, for everyone out there in cyberspace, I guess, aka Canada, in this particular case, and it wasn't what you wanted to hear, why would you bother giving me the time of day? Just because, you know, it's me and I talk about cool things, even though that would actually be really cool if you tuned in just to tune in for me. But the assumption is, of course, is that you're tuning in because the show, or, you know, what Sue and I were talking about is valuable to you. So now you know that as part of our personal brand, that we actually do care about, you know, both how we're portrayed, because we want to make sure that we're giving you value, but at the same time, we want to make sure that if you're going to give us that attention, you're going to give us your lunch hour for those of, you know, on the East Coast, and your breakfast hour on the West Coast, that better be an hour well spent. So hopefully, this was an hour well spent for you guys, and actually a great segue into closing off the show.
Yeah, that's great. And in the handout they can download later, I've got all kinds of resources and more reading too. So
yeah, so stay tuned, of course, to the Canadian Developer Connection blog. That's we'll probably get those up there for you. Probably next week or so. Of course, again, just a reminder to subscribe back to the show so that you do actually have these coming to you live and on your device, and you can take it with you. Take Sue and I wherever it is that you go, so that we can be in your head and reminding you about all of these cool things about your personal brand. Well, Sue, thanks so much for joining us. It's been really a pleasure having you on the show. Guys and gals, stay tuned for more of Sue coming up on the Canadian Developer Connection. And please, 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 as you always hear me say, we're both on the Canadian Developer Connection group in LinkedIn. Hopefully now that you've heard this conversation and you're thinking, hey, you know what, if I go and I participate in the group, which, by the way, very active conversations going on there. There's about 4,800 members now. You know, that's an opportunity for you to show off that brand, right? So take that opportunity. It's, you know, even if it's asking about something that you don't know, right? You can portray a lot just in that, and not a negative portrayal. So with that, again, thanks, Sue. Thanks for all of you guys for tuning in, and we will see you again next month.